are you?
Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win. This is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. And today we have a very special guest. His name is Gregory Griffith, and I have the exceptional pleasure to be able to introduce him to you as well as to the Blog Talk world. And we are also coming live on Twitter and Facebook, so this is definitely a treat, and it is an opportunity for all of us to take hold of what is currently taking place in the news, in the media, with the Michael Jackson story. But why I mention this is because Gregory Griffith is an educator, and he is also a motivator, as well as an author and a person who is definitely on the move to make a statement by bringing together his experience, his real world talent, as well as a mission and a passion for making a difference. And I know our show is only a half an hour long, but I want to make this as best of a show as we can. So, Gregory, I welcome you to Power to Be You.
Thank you, Sandra. Pleasure to be here with you this afternoon.
Well, it's great because, you know, you and I have connected, and we connected at a profound level of understanding that we are here making a statement for helping and sharing with others what we know. So I would like to open up the floor to you so you can just share with the audience a little about you, about who you are, your background.
Well, just as you said, I am presently working full-time in the Broward County School System as a full-time teacher for the exceptional students. That's ESE, Exceptional Student Education. My master's degree is in that area of study from Barry University. My undergraduate degree is in business administration from Florida A&M University. I've been in the school system for almost two decades, in Broward County, working with exceptional students. 7 years of those years, I was also head coach, working as a cross-country coach, which started my running career as a marathoner, and I'm training now for my 13th marathon. So with training for marathons, teaching full-time, I run a multi-entertainment company. It's called Gregory Griffith Productions. I'm very, very busy, and I have two incredible sons that I live and die for. Jonathan, who's 19 in college now, finishing his first year at the University of Central Florida. My oldest son, Gregory Jr., who lives in Tampa with his wonderful wife. And I'm a new granddad. They're a newly, should I say, addition to the family. Alisa is her name, and she's going to be a year old in August.
So wow, you just said
that's what I'm doing right now. That's my life in this moment.
And it's so, you know, it's remarkable because you've been able to take us on this journey that has taken you all of your life to create, and yet you've been able to identify specific areas within your life where there is so much determination, persistence, and perseverance that you have had to undertake in order to reach the success that you have reached. And of course, I understand that the word success to many, you know, it's a word that you can interpret however your views lead you. However, to be successful today in our world requires specific ingredients. So I'd love to just take on that, you know, on that leg now and say, how have you gotten here, Greg?
Very good question, because the one buzzword that you mentioned that's so important to me is defining success. I think we create the paradigms in our own minds about what is really success to us. And you're right. To some people, success means a lot of money. To other people, success means just being a great parent. To other people, it just means that I just have a job and I'm getting up every day and doing the things that are necessary to survive. So for me, my definition of success is really a multiplicity of things, because I do believe that we all work from the mind, body, and spirit perspective. So being successful in life to me definitely is not defined by my bank account. It means that in my body, I wake up every day and I'm able to function and enjoy life. In my mind, I'm constantly reaching to expand. Am I setting goals that I can achieve my greatness? Am I doing the things that will allow me to meet mental challenges? And spiritually, I'm constantly reaching inside to have an inner vision, to make the revision, to empower myself. Because the true energy comes from the faith faculty. And I truly believe that all of the things that we deal with in our external world are always temporary. They come to pass. But the one thing that's constant is that the power to be all that you want to be in life to be what we're defining as success. Start with your spirit first. So my idea of life and success is that we continuously work for the balance in mind, body, and spirit. And I hope the listeners are understanding that that obviously goes far beyond the financial aspects of, you know, making six figures and having a big home and cars. And, of course, those are the comfort zones and the fruits of our success, but it's not success.
You know what? I've actually been writing all of this because it's just so powerful. Every single word that you said, every single sentence that you said can actually be a whole program on its own. You know, you made little tidbits and just sentences that are defining and that only come through years of experience, and it comes through that awareness, like you mentioned. You know, the true success comes within the realm of faith, the faith factor. How important is that to you?
Honestly speaking, if anyone was to get the book, Activate or Stagnate, 30 Days to a New You, and you read that book, you read my book, you'll understand that there's something called the GG factor, and each one of the strategies that I've given in the book, because I do list 30 strategies for taking the 30-day timeline for you to be successful in mind, body, and spirit. And for me, I think the one thing that's been, I mean, paramount to me is that the first page of my book says I give humble thanks to God, because I know that which is innate in me, that which is intrinsic, that which is obviously inborn, inherent, I call it the 4-I effect. You don't forget, all starts with just believing, just having enough faith in you to say that, yes, I can. And my mom took me to church at a very early age, Sandra. She instilled in me principles of believing God, to know that there's a power greater than you. Anything outside of you, there's no power out there greater than the power, that's in you. And you, once you believe that and know that that power is in everyone and everywhere present, it's omnipotent. And I live by that premise now. So, yes, first and foremost for me, my day starts. Greg Griffith is up. You know, it's kind of a funny thing, but it's serious. When I get up, and obviously we go to the bathroom, I get stuck there. Not just using the bathroom, I'm there. That's my retreat. That's my place to meditate. That's my place to stop and gain all the strength I need to go out in what I call the concrete jungle. And that's life. That's the streets. That's my job. That's my everyday occurrences with whatever happens in Joe Public's world. So, yes, faith to me, the faith faculty, meditating, and obviously embracing spirit through meditation is for me just paramount. I feel strange if I don't have that moment, because obviously there are days you'll get up and you'll have this hurried moment and you rush in and you rush out. I try my best to never, ever start my day that way.
And how do you keep this going when the world, and like you mentioned, the concrete jungle comes and it's unraveling around you? How would you deal with that?
I quickly just understand that there are no coincidences. It's just like you and I meeting. It's the way we met through our friend Ellen. It's the way you've introduced me to people like Matthew Bennett, that I take the attitude that everything happens for a reason. Even the worst, to answer your question. And there have definitely been occurrences in my life, and wow, I mean, I've had some serious struggles along the way, but I've always continued to believe that, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle, and it'll only make me stronger. So whatever happens in that day that's not favorable, I step back, I reflect from it. I try not to let the visitor in the door at my life end with a lot of negative, pessimistic, you know, real, should I say, negative people, toxic people, toxic situations, anyone that's continuously bringing that kind of energy into my world. I just try to go through the process of elimination of, you know, just removing myself from that individual if I can, or eradicating that problem by just shifting my mindset about what's going on in that moment, because it's going to come to pass. Nothing that's even the worst thing in life is going to continuously happen unless you're the kind of person that you're not learning from the experience. And the experiences will keep coming until we learn from them.
That is so, you know what, that is so true. That's when I started my company, the company name is Live and Learn. And what I've come to know, you know, by sheer living through it, is that you must learn from your experiences, because if you fail to learn from them, they will continue duplicating and recreating themselves in different versions.
Right.
Until you
right.
get
yep. You know that, and don't get me wrong. I'm still, as we would say, by the guy's name is Gary Zukav, Z-U-K-A-V. I've read this book, and I'm reading it over and over again. It's called Seat of the Soul.
Oh, I know that book, yes.
The guy is just profound about saying that we're all students in the Earth School. And if we would understand that where the personality and the soul will connect becomes that authentic power, and no better way to get it than being a student in the Earth School. You wake up every day, you have your encounters, you reflect upon the day. Some of the encounters are great. Some of the visits at the doors are life or wonderful, and then they're the ones that, well, I don't want to turn that corner and meet that guy or that girl or that situation in my life again. And sometimes we're good about not, and sometimes we'll leave our guards down, and then that same visitor will show up in a different face, you know. And it's not a facade. It's real. It's called life, you know. And, wow, I mean, what can I tell you? From the age of 16, starting to play in nightclubs until the time I graduated college, until the time I went to New Jersey and jumped on the back of a U-Haul truck and went away and came back here, there have been so many things going on in my world that when I reflect and think about life, you know, I just go, wow. I just go, you know, you know, whoever would imagine where I am now, I couldn't have imagined this. Right now, even this interview, a book, an author, now 13 marathons. Nah, you couldn't have told me that I could have painted my own picture to have an interview like this now. And so I just tell you, my honest question that I always ask myself, okay, what's next? When something is not favorable, I always step back from it and say, okay, I got that now. Let me just get ready for the next one, because there will be a challenge. Constantly, you know.
Like they say, you know, they always say it's, what is it, something to the effect of life is like a wave. Sometimes you're riding it, sometimes you're in it, sometimes you're being rappled, you know, underneath it, and other times you end up on the shore, and hopefully you can just say, wow, I made it, you know, with your bathing suit on.
Right. That's the truth. And you know what I love about what you're saying? Because you can giggle about it. See, one thing that you and I probably have expanded our mental paradigms to understand that we know that. See, a lot of people would take the pessimistic, negative, really dark, gloomy, oh, why me? Why did this have to happen? Why am I going through this? Oh, wow, I'll be glad when this is over. My goodness, come on, man. You know, who are you? Who are any of us above this whole thing about the challenge in life? It's just there. You know, and if you don't have challenges, I'm sorry, you're just going to be stagnated. That means you're staying in your box. That means you're just trying to stay in your comfort zone. And one of the journals I read in my book simply says, can you stand the rain? And it says, you know, the good times are fine. They keep a smile on your face. But the big question is this, can you stand the rain? No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. You got to go through to get to.
That is, you know what, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I
oh,
always
yeah.
say character is what, you know, character is what makes you, and character cannot come out if you are not going through that challenge, because that's what it is, that opportunity in disguise, you know, or that challenge in disguise of opportunity or vice versa. But we are not trained. We are not. I mean, you work in the education system, and now we're going to another step. Now we're stepping it up now, you know. So ride along with me, because people will say, well, you know, we got to make a change, or something has to change. Well, things aren't going to change if each person does not take responsibility for it. And you here have the, you know, you're privy to the experience of working within a system, you know, which merely is that. It's a system. It's a vehicle through which people will, you know, interact and present and deliberate. So what can you share with us from that perspective?
Well, as an educator, and I think, my paradigm is working in my mind. You got to understand, in the special needs population, which is so unique, it's just very, very extremely unique to the rest of, should I say, the implementation of your everyday curriculum in the school system, because special needs kids have a unique curriculum. It's very different. There are a lot of accommodations that have to be made to accommodate the diversity of the type of kid that we work with. I work a lot with autistic kids, and they're very special to me because they're so unique. Their worlds are so different. They they march to a different beat. So to answer your question, when I get up and open the door to my classroom and walk in, I literally walk into this world within the world over at Flanagan High School, where I've been teaching since 1996. So, right, we have this curriculum and this framework that the school systems train us for as teachers to come in and implement your personal strategy, because no matter what the curriculum may be, and I've written and said this for many, many years, there's that special you that you bring into that classroom that kids will feel that from you and they'll connect with you. Or if you don't bring that as an educator, you'll still be a teacher, but you're still going to walk a path or travel a road that's going to be, should I say, not quite as easy, because we're all energy, every one of us. And the energy you bring, not just saying, I'm just a physical being here, I got this curriculum, I'm going to implement my strategy to teach, you know, put the work on the board, have a little dialogue, and go home. See, I don't function in that capacity as a teacher. I'm there first as a human being with a spirit, and I'm bringing my love to you. I'm bringing my love for what I do to you. I'm bringing my energy to you so that you may reciprocate that back to me. And all of my kids, for almost 20 years now, even the ones who graduate, Sandra, and come back, they honestly say to me, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for sharing things with us in our dialogues that let me know that you're human, that you're not just here facilitating information just as my teacher, that you've had life experience and you share that with us. And for me, as a teacher, as a coach, as a mentor, now as an author, as a motivator, a person who's inspiring people, that's been, to be honest with you, I would never want to change anything about my life to this very moment, especially being in the classroom and the rewarding feeling that it's been to know that you can be there and impact someone's life to that magnitude, and they'll come back and share with you that way. So the forum as an educator, contingent upon the teacher and what they bring to that forum, it's an incredible place to be. That's why, and I guess I put a little joke on this, but I'm serious about it, why do they not just pay teachers more to be who they are, to impact everyone's kids, to be who they want to be in life? I don't understand it. It's almost baffling to me. You know,
see, you said that. You said something that really struck, because, you know, from my perspective, you definitely have a major edge, because you have, you know, you're in the spirit, you are in the personal development field. You have, you know, it's one thing to say, it's one thing to learn it, like you say. You know, people can go and learn personal development, and you can pick up a book and read part of it, and you can look at a video, but you have to live it. You have to use what you learn and then apply it to your own life. And it's only when you are through the transition, it's only when you are before a challenge, it's only when you are before a difficult decision, that you have to look at what you've learned and how that's going to support your life. And unfortunately, you know, like you say, here's a forum for educators, but the educators, like you said, they're not allowed to be who they are, because that brings along their beliefs and their values. And it's like people as human beings are not allowed to be human beings. You're not allowed to touch a child. You're not allowed to hug a child. You're not allowed to talk about God. You're not allowed to bring in faith. You're just supposed to be here teaching a curriculum that, you know, especially us who are in South Florida, it's undermined by having to fulfill specifications that come all the way from Tallahassee, which is based on performance. It's based on, these kids better know this, whether they know it or not, at least they better remember it for that testing time.
Yep.
So, you know, everyone's awareness is, well, you have to, you know, provide something, but what they're providing is not supporting kids in their lives, in their everyday struggles, in their, you know, in their challenges, in their struggles with their families, their identity, their vision. I mean, I've heard, being in the at-risk, you know, in the at-risk component here, that I'm so aware of it, you know, people who look at these kids, and these kids who are so worried that they're not going to make it past high school, that they're not even going to graduate, you know, African-American youth saying, you know, I'm going to have a child because chances are that I'm not going to make it past 17. I'm going to be shot. So I got to have a kid now so that my legacy leads on.
Oh, yeah, you're hitting the hammer right on the nail right now. And realistically, you know, especially in this population where, you know, a lot of teenage pregnancies come up. And the not to even get into the subject of pregnancy, you know, being a teenager and things of that nature, but what you just said, that to back up your comment on something you said was very profound. The curriculum is just set, and especially now with FCAT being the way it is and the amount of tension that will come, should I say, man, from just being prepared to just pass FCAT. If I could only explain to you what goes on in a school when your school doesn't meet the mark, what goes on within that individual who's under that pressure to pass just the FCAT alone. And when you're under that kind of pressure, what usually happens, Sandra, to be very honest, the realities of what you're there to implement become obscured. The realities of being there to just implement that curriculum and that framework just almost kind of goes under the burner, because it may sound like everything you need to be, all you want to be, is in the FCAT, but we obviously know it's not, because it's purely academic. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not against FCAT. I'm totally for it, but I'm not saying that it will define and create the paradigm in any kid's mind to be all that they can be. The one thing they cannot do academically is bring that real-world experience into what a kid needs to go out in the streets and meet the concrete jungle and be successful. And FCAT would never do that. It would never do that. It will get you prepared academically. Sure, you'll make scores and you'll move on to the next level. But when someone is out here in the real world having encounters that they need someone to talk about those things to, it won't happen. And that is one of the problems and the issues with what we're dealing with in the school systems, that, yes, definitely put a lot of emphasis on academic, but you're right. There needs to be, should I say, an expansion of the curriculum to bring a little bit more of the things that people need to deal with real-world experiences that they're just not going to get in school. That is why I tell any guy, any young lady, anyone who's bringing their kids into the school systems, get that kid involved and as much as you possibly can. Because one thing I've learned from being a coach, and one thing I learned myself to back this up, is being an athlete. See, I grew up playing sports all my life. I mean, from police athletic leagues, in elementary school, organized sports in junior high school, until I decided I wanted to be a professional musician. And let me tell you something, just encountering the experiences that sports brought to me, the cooperative learning, dealing with coaches, dealing with managers, dealing with different people. See, my point to all of that is that if you just stay strictly in school every day, do nothing but what you should do academically, leave school, go home, turn on the TV, watch it, and get up the next day and come back, where are your experiences going to be other than what you get in school and what you may get from your parents at home and what the TV will give you? And honestly, that's very shallow. It's very narrow. And we're dealing with kids who are not getting the attention from their parents. I see them every day. They come to school frustrated. Their self-esteem is very low because no one's making them feel real good about themselves. Their parents right now, especially the way the economy is, they're just busy working. They're just busy dealing with making sure that your food's on the table, the lights turn on when you hit the switch, the mortgage is paid, and that you can have a little money to hang out with your kids or go buy some video games. And the rest is left up to us when they show up the next day to make sure that Sally or Billy shows up with what's necessary to move forward. Now, the missing link here is that some parents are doing a great job. They're juggling it. They're making it happen. But a lot of them, a higher percentile than you'll ever imagine, aren't really helping to create the paradigm in the mind for the kid to be successful. Because that's the first thing you and I spoke about. How about this thing called success? And that's the bottom line. They're not getting it. And we as educators, we deal with the kids who show up, who have that low self-esteem, who sometimes are struggling more academically because, honestly, they just don't feel that they can. It doesn't even become a matter of how much do you have there from a cognitive perspective. It's about how much do you have back to that faith faculty in you to believe that, to say to yourself, yes, I can. A lot of kids are not saying that.
See, you know what? I want to. I know that when I first started the show, I spoke with Michael Jackson, and that has created such an impact for me because it magnifies everything that we are just talking about. It magnifies the condition of the human spirit. It magnifies the condition of life. People who believe that success is money. People who, you know, I mean, we're all taken by you know, celebrities, and we're taken by the fact that something looks bigger than life, and we all aspire to have these beautiful homes and to ride cars and to have influence and to have power. And at the end of the day, you know, an example such as this, an example, such a pure example of a human being who was gifted by God with the gifts that he brought, the talents that were innate, you know, that he was able to express them from such a young age, touch so many lives, create, you know, a success story, not because he created himself, but because he was pushed through his family, through his, you know, his father having had he stepped out. You know, here's an African-American person who was a steel worker, who was also Jehovah's Witness, you know, who was a father and a mother living in a time and place where the segregation was there, or civil rights. You know, we have so much to study from this. And we look at what's happening now, what's happening currently right now with all of these people who now are scrambling to cover their butts, cover their backs because of what they've done, because all of their interest has been on greed and on how do I get more, how do I make more, how do I mooch off somebody else. Because if they were able to see an individual who he was gifted, but who was also frail, who was vulnerable, who, you know, who needed to be loved, who was someone who in my eyes, his spirit of a child was always with him, and understandably so, because we do what we can, what we have, and we attempt to cover our needs, whether they support us or not, with the activities that we undertake. And that, I believe, you know, is Michael Jackson's case. However, we need to learn from that and realize that we as human beings and as parents and as leaders, you know, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, our continuation in this world depends on our ability to encourage the younger people behind us.
I absolutely agree with you. I don't know how much more time is here for us, but one thing that you tapped into that I would just like to give my honest, should I say, assessment of is what you're saying. When you look at, speaking of Michael Jackson, when you just stop for a moment and realize that, first and foremost, his parents recognized the gift. We can say that without doubt, that had it been for Joe Jackson, Catherine Jackson, who knows where Michael and his brothers would be. It's just like Osmonds. Any family who someone in the family can step up and recognize and do that makes a big difference. I mean, it happened in my family with my brother. I mean, not to be to the extent that we're superstars, where my brother recognized my sister, Ruby Baker, younger talent at 12 years old, was our lead singer. I wrote about that in my book, and the next thing you know, we're out in clubs. I'm 16, she's 12, and the rest is history. I'm still blessed to say whatever level of success I've had, I still go out and play in clubs. I still perform. I still play my bass. I still sing. So I'm thankful that someone came along in my case, recognized the talent, and did what was necessary. But one thing I also remember, too, just like Michael and anyone else, all along the way, when you're exposed to those things at an early age, you're right. Your paradigm, everything in you is shifted differently because you're not now living, quote-unquote, the life of the normal. The entertainment industry, let me tell you, Sandra, it's another world altogether. So the empowerment that we're giving our youth through skills, through sports, through entertainment, through art, through modeling, through anything that they can get is a wonderful, wonderful personal empowerment tool. And in my book, Activate or Stagnate, and I welcome your listeners to go to gregorygriffiths.org if they have the opportunity to log on to my website, check out the book, Activate or Stagnate, take the 30-day timeline, know that in mind, body, and spirit that you can develop all that you need to be all that you can. Because when you speak about people like Michael Jackson, who definitely was empowered by the gift, but when you look at all the things that happened along the way, Michael just was a gifted kid. He's a great example, but then everyone is not going to be a Michael Jackson. I'm talking about the average Joe, the average Susie, who just wants to become someone and become successful. You still have to develop your skills. You still have to develop your faith base. You still have to develop the ability to get up every day and take care of your body, your mind, and your spirit. Your body, your mind, and your spirit. Never lose that balance. You never get balance. Just have the awareness that you have to work on these things. And as an educator, for me, seeing kids who come in without the energy because they're not taking care of themselves, see the kids coming in and can't function because they're stressed out, seeing kids coming in saying, I don't believe in God, man, we don't want to talk about anything like that today. And we can't share religion in schools, but we can tell all of our kids there is a spirit in you. If I say nothing else before we get off this interview, discover the power within and begin with that, and everything else will find its place.
Well, Gregory, today with Power to Be You, having Gregory Griffith with Activate or Stagnate, 30 Days to a New You, and everything else that you've shared with us, it's been truly a gift because it is about empowering others, and you can't do that until you empower yourself. So, Gregory,
thank you so much, Sandra.
Thank you.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm also on my own website, Gregory Griffith at gregorygriffith.org. Feel free to interview anyone else about this, Sandra, because I think the subject of balance, I think this whole thing about mind, body, and spirit, long story short, Oprah had someone on the other day. The lady lost 60 pounds, but she said, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing a mind, body, and spirit thing now, Oprah, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I call it holistic.
That's right.
I call it holistic training.
Right. All of you, you got to deal with it. Because you know what? The obscure imbalance, and I'll leave you with this, the obscure imbalance that comes from ignoring those parts of you that you should, like you said, you can make a fortune, but if you're not taking care of your body, sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Gregory.
Them.
Thank you, Sandra. God bless. Enjoy the
moment. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a presentation of Power to Be You, and be sure to tune in to the future shows as we will be taking you into a whole new level with Catalyst for Change, creating empowerment, creating advocacy, creating awareness, and taking responsibility for who we are, where we're going, and who we influence along the way.